In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. And that's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today about obedience, the greatest thing that is required of anyone. We've been talking from Pamela Reeve's lovely little book called Faith Is, and as you know, usually on Fridays, the programs are slightly different, but this time it's certainly related to what we've been talking about all along. Faith is action. Faith is obedience. Faith does not depend on feelings. And many years ago, when I lived in the jungle, I had practically no opportunity for fellowship with mature Christians for most of those 11 years. Often I was alone on a station. There were no other missionaries. I was alone a good part of the time physically, isolated from anyone who spoke English, at least. And also, a lot of the time, I was isolated spiritually. I found wonderful nourishment in George MacDonald's novels. I'm glad that they are available in paperback form today. All the titles have been changed, and there have been great, wonderful passages cut out of the newer versions, to my great dismay. But at least you can read some of the George MacDonald novels. But back in those days, they were not available, and a friend of Jim Elliot's named Keith Masson from Portland, Oregon, used to spend a lot of his time in secondhand bookstores, and he wrote to me and he said, I do this as a hobby, so is there anything you want me to look for? And I said, yes, please find me all the George MacDonald novels you can get your hands on. And so I have a whole shelf of the hardbound copies from the 19th century and early 20th century. You've heard me quote George MacDonald, and I owe to him a tremendous debt. I also owe to C.S. Lewis a great debt for his anthology of George MacDonald. If you have not read any of George MacDonald, or if you've read only his novels, I would strongly urge you to get hold of C.S. Lewis's anthology of George MacDonald. It's a thin book filled with just priceless gems of quotations from MacDonald's writings. And as you perhaps know, C.S. Lewis became a Christian through the writings of George MacDonald and said that he owed to him as great a debt as one man can owe to another. Well, one passage that I copied out from a MacDonald book, I gave to my father one time. I copied it out on a 3x5 card, and I gave it to my father because my father was a worrier, as I am by nature, by temperament. And after my father died, I discovered that he had carried that little card in his wallet from the time I gave it to him, which was quite a few years. And it was well worn and very dirty from being carried in the wallet. And this is what the quotation said. The care that is filling your mind at this moment, or but waiting until you lay the book aside to consume you, that need, which is no real need, is a demon sucking at the spring of your life. Do you object, saying, but no, you do not understand. The thing I am worrying about is a reasonable anxiety, an unavoidable care. Does it involve something you have to do at this very moment, I ask? Well, no. Then you are allowing it to usurp the place of something that is required of you at this moment, the greatest thing that can ever be required of any man or woman. And what is that? To trust in the living God. What if God does not want me to have what I need at this moment? If He does not want you to have something you value, it is to give you instead something He values. And if I do not want what He has to give me? If you are not willing that God should have His way with you, then in the name of God, be miserable. until your misery drive you to the arms of the Father. Oh, but this is only about some financial concern. I do trust him in spiritual matters. Everything is an affair of the Spirit. If God has a way of dealing with you in your life, it is the only way. Every little thing in which you would have your own way has a mission for your redemption. And he will treat you as a willful little child until you take your Father's way for your own. What is the care that is filling your mind today, or waiting till you lay the radio program aside in order to consume you? Does it involve something you have to do at this very moment? Well, if it doesn't, don't let it usurp the place of the greatest thing that can ever be required of any man or woman, which is, what is the greatest thing that can be required of any of us? Trust in the living God. Trust in the living God. Trust in the living God. Well, as often happens, as I was preparing this talk, I was greatly disturbed. This time, it was a disturbing phone call. There had been a misunderstanding. I had given a false impression. I was worried about my having hurt the person, and I was hurt, too, by what she said. I didn't know what to do. What I had said to her was true and necessary. As far as I know, it was kind, but she misunderstood. It gave a false impression, and there really wasn't anything else that I could do except to say to her that I was sorry. I couldn't take back the words. And I opened that little book, which is often such a comfort to me, Amy Carmichael's book, If. If I am perturbed, I read, by the reproach and misunderstanding that may follow action taken for the good of souls for whom I must give account, if I cannot commit the matter and go on in peace and in silence, remembering Gethsemane and the cross, then I know nothing of Calvary love. Trust in the living God for me meant that I had to leave this perturbation in God's hands, trusting that if I went on quietly to do my ordinary work, that he would show me what to do if there was something that I could do for that person when the time came. This matter was clearly an affair of the Spirit. Now, you remember in this dialogue by George MacDonald, the person objects that the thing that was perturbing him was merely a financial concern. He said, I do trust him in spiritual matters. And the answer is, everything is an affair of the Spirit. And I knew that this misunderstanding that came by telephone was clearly an affair of the Spirit, of my spirit. Would I take my Father's way for my own, or would I persist in fretting and stewing about what the other person might be thinking or saying about me? Somebody's listening to me today, I'm sure, who needs this word, I think. Lord, I want to pray for that man or woman or child right now on the radio. You know the one who needs this word. You know what he or she needs this very moment. Lord, I pray that you will help him, help her, to run to your arms and accept your way. I can't count the number of times this simple paragraph that my father carried around in his wallet has helped me. I'm sure it must have helped my father many times, too. He wouldn't have put it in his wallet. He wasn't a man who stuffed little bits of paper here and there. He was extremely organized, extremely frugal and careful, especially about the things that he kept in his pocket. I remember his neat little notebook and his neat wallet and the neat little AutoPoint pencil in which he kept records in his little notebook. But this simple paragraph from MacDonald has shown me the way so many times. What is required of me at this moment? Probably what you're worrying about is not something that you have to do at this very moment. Am I right? Did I guess right on that? So, If you are worrying about that thing, then you are allowing it to usurp the place of something that is required of you at this moment. And you may say, but nothing is required of me at this moment. And MacDonald would say, yes, one thing is required, the greatest thing that can ever be required of any of us. And what is that? Trust in the living God. Faith is, what were those things that Pamela Reeves told us? Faith is the conviction of realities I cannot see or feel. Faith is not a leap in the dark, nor a mystical experience, nor an indefinable encounter with someone, but trust in one who has explained himself in a person, Christ, in a historical record, the Bible. Faith is the handle by which I take God's promises and apply them to my particular problems. Let me remind you of the promise in Isaiah 50, verse 7. The Lord God will help me. Now you can remember that. The Lord God will help me. Grab that handle. Put that thing that's disturbing your mind in God's hands. And say, Lord, I can't handle this, but you can. I want to trust you. You've promised to help me. Please help me. And make me open to the method of help that you send. Maybe I have an idea in my head about how I would like you to send it. Maybe you'll send it some other way. Lord, help me to recognize it when it comes. God bless you.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.